right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I have a belated birthday wish to Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell. How you doing today, Glenn? Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Ann. I appreciate that so much. I'm doing well and feel as young as I am.
How does it feel to be an official senior?
Well, I have enjoyed it, and of course I take the position that the key is just to remain active and energetic, and if you do that, you're only as old as you make yourself feel.
Well, you certainly keep a lot on your plate. I tell you what, your work that you're doing with the seniors is pretty awesome for you, and I know that it's not a job that you undertook lightly, but my goodness, this legislation that you have introduced for seniors, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? It's awesome.
Well, and two of the places that we have started on, first of all, is in prescription drug theft. It's a growing problem all over this country. We now rank 23rd per capita in prescription drug overdose deaths. What's happening is that drugs that are prescribed for seniors, painkillers and things, are the happy targets of thieves, of caregivers, and sadly, even family members. And what is happening is that they take these and they take them out and sell them. The problem we have is that the laws in this state are really structured around a different category of what I call illegal substances, Schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 type drugs. And so if they don't fall in that, they're not an opiate derivative or something, then there is confusion among the prosecutors as to whether or not they should prosecute, and so they prosecute, if they do, under a lesser statute, which is a misdemeanor, and for the audience, put yourself in this position. These drugs are vital to their health. They're vital to protect them against suffering, and yet they're the number one target of these people who take them out and sell each tablet for hundreds of dollars. And the law is so complicated till there's not an energetic prosecution, and it is a growing problem across the state. So what we simply did is we rewrote the law. We created a additional section. So if they don't clearly fall in Schedules 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of controlled substances, then they can prosecute under the other law. And the great thing about it is we do it on the number of tablets. So instead of the weight, so if they have a bunch of tablets, they're going to get a bunch of penalties. The other area that we've got, and this one is going to probably shock some of your listeners that hear this, is the bill that we have done on senior trafficking and exploitation reform of 2014. People say, what is senior trafficking? Well, let me give you an example of how that operates. They troll the emergency rooms for seniors who have gone in there because they're very sick and they're having trouble getting home or they have no transportation getting home. They then turn around and give them a helping hand, but they don't take them home. They take them somewhere else and tell them they're going to take care of them until they can go home. Then they get them to sign over their benefits, and then what happens is they essentially get warehoused. So we're going to put a stop to that, which is to make sure that we have a trail in the emergency rooms. If you're discharging a senior who's incapacitated and ill or whatever and has had to undergo treatment and it's not a family member, then we want to know where that senior is being taken so that 72 hours later we can have the police check to make sure they got to that rather than get warehoused somewhere and disappear off of the radar screen. Some of the other problems we got is that the current law really only applies to what we call vulnerable adults. And what we've done is extend the law to all seniors, which is age 60 and above, in accordance with the Federal Older Americans Act. And then what we've done is we've gone in and strengthened the abuse and neglect laws. For instance, the current law does not cover reckless abuse. It only covers knowing and willful abuse.
Sure.
And so what we did is we made that distinction. We applied it also to seniors. Then we strengthened the penalties for a failure to report, but we put into the law a good faith defense so as not to chill in any way family members or volunteers from trying to help or care for a senior. As long as they do it in good faith, that's an absolute defense. Then what we have also done is strengthened the penalties for people who attempt to intimidate or a vulnerable adult or a senior. The other thing we've done is we've strengthened the exploitation laws, and what we've done is to make sure that vulnerable adults and seniors are protected from exploitation. What is exploitation? It can be from many directions. It's everything from identity theft to using the getting powers of attorney and using the money for the benefit of the person who's got the power of attorney rather than for the benefit of the senior. And so what we've done is expand the exploitation laws to protect seniors in this state. If we don't be proactive on the front end, we will pay for it on the back end. And these are some of the recent changes, and we've just gotten tremendous support as we move forward. Several other states in the union have already gone in this direction, and it puts South Carolina out in the forefront of being proactive.
You know, Lieutenant Governor McConnell, one of the things that I was wondering as you were talking is how many of these, what should we call them, elder napping, senior napping have occurred in the state?
Well, we are aware of a situation which is currently either under investigation or prosecution in one section of the state. The sad part, the question, Ann, is a great question, because the way the system's set up, there's no way to track it because they just disappear. They leave the emergency rooms. They get enticed by these people. There's no follow-up. They have no loved ones around because no family members came with them, and they just kind of disappear off the map.
So it's an uncounted number.
It is an uncounted number, but it is a growing problem, and we're making it clear in this state we're not going to put up with it. We're going to go after them. Additionally, this thing on exploitation, right now the law is just so soft in that particular area, and what we've done is we've increased the penalties, and it'll depend on the amount of financial impact that you have on the seniors. And reverting back to the issue of prescription drugs, it's the same way. Imagine somebody not giving a senior their painkiller and letting the senior sit there and suffer because they go take it out on the street and sell it for $200 or $300 a tablet.
You know, one of the things that I saw, I believe that is going to be part of the law, that they are going to make it illegal for anyone to possess prescription drugs unlawfully and establishing more appropriate penalties. Does that mean that if you have or if you're carrying prescription drugs and they're not yours, that you could have a problem?
If you're carrying prescriptions, if you're bringing them from a drugstore, you're an agent or something, a family member going to pick them up, this law will not affect you.
Right.
Now, if you've got a bunch of prescription drugs that don't belong to you, and you're out trying to market them, you're in a heap of trouble, and that's how they get them. A, you're guilty of illegal possession. That makes the drug illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are then trafficking in illegal drugs. So if the, let's take the case of the caregiver. The caregiver is got the senior's drugs at their house. That's illegal possession. If they're bringing them from a drugstore or pick them up at a supermarket or something and transporting the senior, no. So we're very careful to make sure that a person who operates in good faith does not in any way get in a problem with the law. But we got to put a stop to this. It's incredible to me that somebody would steal drugs from a senior who needs them for their health or to prevent pain.
Well, absolutely. But, does this mean, because we've had so many kids stealing prescription drugs out of the medicine cabinet. Will this include of thing too?
Yes. Stealing out of medicine cabinets will be prosecutable. People need to understand. We're going to put a stop to it. Let me tell you, in some states, and I don't recall, I think it's something like 29 states right now, more people are dying from overdoses of prescription drugs than they are dying on the highways. And this comes from the illegal drug trafficking that is going on in prescription drugs, and it is growing to the point that it will exceed the trafficking in the illicit drugs.
Wow. Now, of course, the other issue is drugs that aren't being taken but are sitting there in a medicine cabinet. I think we're talking about ones that are being gotten on a regular basis for somebody, but so many people have drugs, they take half a prescription, they decide they don't need it anymore. What happens in those cases, Glenn?
Well, there are two things that are happening now. What we're doing is we have set up in a running across the state take-back prescription drug days,
right,
where people or their loved ones can bring those prescription drugs and turn them into the police, and they will be properly disposed of. And we just had overwhelming response to that in places that we're running it. Also, some of the police departments and sheriff's departments across the state have places where you can bring those drugs and get rid of them so that they do not get into the illicit drug trade. And we try to make some inroads in that, because we don't want drugs that seniors don't need around where they may get also get confused and take them.
Sure.
And so we're trying to be proactive in these particular areas. And we will have, and shortly I'm hopeful, we're going to have some additional legislation coming out in the area of transportation.
Transportation of?
Of seniors.
Of seniors.
And it'll be a whole new initiative that we're working on in there. Since I last talked to you, we have gotten Sustaining Our Seniors SC up and running. It is a what we call an eleemosynary corporation, which means a nonprofit charitable corporation. They applied for 501c3 status, and what we're doing is we're raising money and getting donations in order to do things like senior transportation and other initiatives. We hope that we get our modules ready, that we'll be able to be involved in creating charitable transportation co-ops, so to speak, across the state. Additionally, since I last talked to you, another area that we've run into with seniors is in connectivity, and I've addressed this in previous programs there. We have a problem with best practices being really shared and people information and referral. Let me give you an example of what we came across. Back in about 2009, a gentleman in the intersection of the state had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
He got behind. He had to pay some medical bills to get himself well, so he got behind on his electric bill. His electricity got shut off. He continued to live in his house without electricity. A government program was delivering meals there, their contract program through a private vendor. And no one reported that the man was living in the house, a senior, without electricity, without heat, without hot water. Fortunately, just before Christmas, somebody contacted us and said, look, we're worried about this guy. It's getting cold. He doesn't have power. So we checked on him. Our office did. Well, before we were finished, thanks to the great folks at South Carolina Electric and Gas Company, we had to go in and rewire his house because they couldn't cut it back on because of code violations. And we got donations. We paid off his electric bill, got him back on his feet. We had to go in there. We had to put some new windows in, put a hot water tank back in because the other one had rusted out from inactivity. The great thing of this is the public-private partnerships that we got out of that. It's an example of how things can happen. But the other problem we got there is the lack of connectivity. How in the world can somebody sit there and be delivered meals, and nobody does a needs assessment and starts activating to help these people? So for us, it's a question of how we match needs to resources. And we're trying to put together, through Sustain Our Seniors SC, a fabric where nonprofits and faith-based and for-profits and government can interact in a way where we can match resources to needs and make sure that we end some of the suffering and create a safety net. And that's what I'm trying to do, is activate an infrastructure that will long outlive my tenure as lieutenant governor.
Well, these programs, you know, that is here in Greenwood, of course, we have Meals on Wheels, and I would hope that that type of thing wouldn't happen because of what Meals on Wheels does to protect our seniors.
Well, they're a great program, and see, that's a private nonprofit. It's a great program, does a great job. This particular instance where this occurred, it's my understanding that was being serviced by a private vendor who was contracted. But I really blame somewhat the governmental structure. If they had engaged in a needs assessment, and what I've done is enforced back across this entire network, needs assessments. You're being paid to do them. You will do them for the reason that needs assessments allows us to find out what their needs are and then match their needs to the resources. Had that been done for this gentleman, what we did for him this year would have been done years ago and at a much less cost.
Absolutely. So this sounds like an awesome Sustain Seniors SC?
Yeah, it's SOS SC Incorporated.
Wow.
Sustain Our Seniors South Carolina Incorporated is what it means, and it was a nonprofit. Our office set it up so that this would continue. There's already donations flowing into it. Additionally, because of the power settlement, Duke Energy has agreed to make a charitable donation to the state of $1 million, which will be used for outreach and for information and referral and education for seniors to connect them to resources across South Carolina. That's another accomplishment that we've been able to pull off. And despite all this hard work and everything we've done and everything you've done on this particular issue, it was sad again to see this year that neither political party put it on their legislative priorities, and it was not mentioned in the state of the state by either the Republicans or the Democrats.
That is sad, because that is such a growing population here
it
in
is.
South Carolina.
It is. It's going to double in the next 15 years. It's the health challenge of the century. Seniors have paid their dues all their lives. They're just looking for a helping hand. It could be a senior center. It could be a trip to a drugstore. It could be a meal a day because they're a shut-in. And one of the things we've done since we've been here is we've finally been able to put into place a data reporting system of what we're doing with the money that's been given to us. And I can report to you that we can document that 5,005 seniors who have three or more ADLs, and these are the types of adult disabilities that affect daily functions like dressing or bathing or something.
Mm-hmm.
When you have three or more of those under federal law, you qualify to go into a nursing home. By our program, which is 40 times cheaper than a Medicaid nursing bed, we've kept those people in their homes where they want to stay. And it has saved the taxpayers. If we had them in Medicaid nursing beds, we'd be spending close to $250 million, and we're not. Instead, we're spending about $26 million.
Wow. That is phenomenal. How can you leave this office, Glenn?
Pardon?
I said, how can you leave this office, Glenn?
Well, let me tell you some of the things that happened. Some alumni came to me and said, look, your alma mater needs you to come back here. It's in a sea of controversy. Where it should go, they need you. The other thing was we were having opposition thrown on us in a primary, and if I had to go out and get on a campaign trail for the next 6 to 7 months, I couldn't finish what needed to be done. And so it seemed to me that the best route that I could have, the most positive contribution I could have, was try to stay out of the political arena and stay focused on getting this stuff done, and also have the opportunity to go and try to help the College of Charleston go to the next level.
Well, then I need to ask you the next question. Do you feel you'll be able to get all the programs in place that you want to get in place before you leave?
I am hopeful that I can. The problem will the next lieutenant governor be dedicated to seniors? And that has bothered me because some of the candidates that are out there think they're economic developers and all of that. For the next 4 years, the law is that the lieutenant governor will be the chief advocate for the aging population and adults with disabilities. And what I'm hopeful is by putting some of these programs will be self-sustaining, but by elevating this, that the public will demand that this level of attention remain.
That's pretty smart there, Glenn McConnell. I applaud you because you're right. There hasn't been that attention out there, and you constantly pull us back to the fact that this is the office and what it's supposed to focus on.
Exactly. And so I'm hopeful that a candidate will step forward who will have a passion for this issue. You know, and that's what's important.
Absolutely. Well, Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. You certainly have brought a lot of light. That new website, that new program that is up and going, that is a 501c, what's the name of it again?
That's that will be called SOSSC, Incorporated.
Okay. And do you already have a website on this, am I correct on that?
Debbie, do you know if they have a website yet? They have not set that up yet.
Okay.
They have just a month ago, we got the board of directors appointed and operational. They had another one. They've already adopted a mission and a vision for where they're going, and it's exciting. And, Ann, I would tell you that up the road, we're working very hard to finish developing a module that we hope will become a template that will go across the state to help with volunteers for seniors in transportation. These are the sorts of things that, again, if I was able to stay out of the political fight, I could stay focused and get something done. And that goes back to an early remark I made on your show. I believe that people of the state are so fed up with government that's always about the next election rather than the next problem.
I agree
and
with you.
And I didn't understand why they wanted to get opposition on us with the job that we were doing. Nobody else was getting it that early. I just knew, and I could have won. I don't think we've seen polling. It's not that we're walking away from a fight.
Right.
But the key is to get something done. It's frustrating to serve and not get something done. And I told my staff, I said, look, if I stay out of the political fight, nobody can contend that this is being done or that's being done for a headline. Instead, we're making headway. And that's what I want to do. That ought to be my legacy, is that I got something done.
Can we send you to Washington?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure I want to go there.
I know that. I wouldn't either. Hey, Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you in the future.
Look forward, Ann. Thank you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.